Now we move on to one very specific part of the environment, farms and the crops that grow on them. As if the United States and Europe do not have enough disagreements already, now there's a fight over food. Last week, the United States filed a complaint with the World Trade Organization accusing the European Union of violating free trade rules by blocking American exports of genetically engineered food. Yesterday, President Bush escalated the rhetoric in a speech at the Coast Guard Academy. He said genetic engineering of crops is a way to grow more food and feed more people, especially in Africa.
Yet our partners in Europe are impeding this effort. They have blocked all new biocrops because of unfounded, unscientific fears. This has caused many African nations to avoid investing in biotechnologies for fear that their products will be shut out of European markets. European governments should join, not hinder, the great cause of ending hunger in Africa.
President Bush speaking yesterday in a commencement address at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London. If you have opinions or information or questions about international agricultural marketing and genetically engineered food, its relationship to the starvation crisis in Africa and international marketing, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. And joining us now to talk about all this intercontinental bickering is Dan Charles, the author of Lords of the Harvest, Biotech and Big Money and the Future of Food. He's with us here in Studio 3A. And Dan, good to see you.
It's nice to be back in the studio.
Dan, what crops are the Europeans objecting to?
So we're talking about corn and soybeans for the most part. Actually, by now, most of the soybeans grown in this country are genetically engineered. They've been altered to tolerate a particular kind of herbicide that makes it easier for the farmers to control weeds in their fields. And a good chunk of the corn that's grown is also genetically engineered mainly to protect itself against insects that otherwise would eat it.
And is these crops grown by or produced these seeds by big companies, agribusiness?
Right, and that is a big part of the story. These genetically altered crops and engineered crops have been brought to market for the most part by big chemical companies, and most of them by one particular big chemical company called Monsanto.
Now, is it that European consumers don't like the taste of these, don't want to eat them, are frightened by them? Are these crops illegal in Europe?
Here you get into a sort of a complicated mess, because some are legal and some aren't. The soybeans are actually legal to be sold, to be exported to Europe, but there's been a lot of consumer resistance. And then you get into motivations. Now, part of it actually, you know, has to do with the fact that these are big chemical companies bringing this to market, and environmentalists have a history of, as we've heard in the previous half hour, fighting with big chemical companies. And so why should we trust what they've brought on this occasion? There were broader fears about meddling with nature. And above all, I mean, the consumer saw no benefit from all of this. And so if given a choice...
Oh, so these crops weren't cheaper.
No, they weren't cheaper. They were just mixed in with the general stream of soy oil and soy meal and to a lesser extent, corn products, because most corn is fed to animals coming to Europe. And so the European consumers, led by kind of a hardcore band of environmental activists, mobilized against this, forced labels on some of these crops when they appeared on store shelves, and eventually shut down the approval process so that now, even though soybeans are legal, the imports have been restricted just because of this consumer resistance. And corn, many varieties grown in the United States, are now not approved in Europe. And so basically all whole grain corn exports to Europe have been stopped. Even though, and this is an interesting point, and this is for the Bush administration, even though the scientific approval panels in Europe have recommended approval.
We'll talk more about international agricultural marketing and how all of this applies to the issue of starvation in Africa, which was part of the president's charge in his address yesterday at the Coast Guard Academy, when we come back. 800-989-8255, TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, join Ira Flatow on the next Science Friday for a look at new computing technology. Today, we're talking about genetically modified food, which is causing another bitter debate between the Bush administration and many countries in Europe. Our guest is Dan Charles. He's the author of Lords of the Harvest, Biotech and Big Money and the Future of Food. Our phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN@npr.org. And again, yesterday, President Bush said that this objection by Europe is perpetuating starvation in Africa. Some African countries, Dan, have refused to accept food aid?
Zimbabwe, Zambia, and one other country, temporarily Uganda, but there was one other that I've forgotten at the moment, refused to accept American food aid. Zambia took the hardest line. And basically said, we have no proof, and our scientists are not convinced that this is safe. So you had this bizarre situation of food from the United States sitting in warehouses in Zambia where people were starving and couldn't be distributed. Some people actually took measures into their own hands, broke into the warehouses and carted it off. Even, you know, while well-fed Americans back in North America were eating the stuff by the tons.
Our next caller is Kathleen, who joins us on the line from Washington, D.C.
Hi, how are you, Neil, and how, Mr. Charles? One of my concerns is the way this is being framed, is as though the EU is holding Africa hostage. That's an interesting framing. But one of the issues that's really not being discussed is that things like intellectual property rights, unfair competition, exploitation of local consumers, whether the transgenic product development, whether people in Africa and other places will share the benefits, and the new varieties replacing the local ones. You know, these are the issues that are really on the table. And the way this is being framed is, you know, look at these crazy African people who aren't eating the food, you know, et cetera. But you have to really go, we just got off the Terminator seeds and these kinds of issues of using food even as weapon. And we haven't signed the treaty. So I think we need to get on this radio and talk a little bit more about that than just framing it as though it's GMO food or starve for Africa.
Dan?
Those are good points, and I think we should talk about them. I think those are important reasons why in Europe the movement against genetically engineered food really got going early on. I mean, the really new and different thing about these crops is actually the legal and commercial arrangements that surrounded them as they came to market. They were protected by a series of patents and contracts with farmers. They changed the rules of the game in agriculture, and it ruffled a lot of the feathers and got a lot of people upset for political and philosophical reasons. But you can't get a mass movement organized around those motivations a lot of the time. And so you got around to arguments about food safety. And they were very powerful arguments, particularly in Europe, where they'd had a series of food safety scares. And here's where I get kind of angry, actually, because to my mind, having looked at the evidence, the food safety arguments do not hold up. And so you have arguments that work, but they're not true. And that's where, you know, that's where you have the Africans getting caught when they're saying, well, but the Europeans are telling us that this is not safe.
But now, what about the arguments that are true that may not work, but that you can't sweep that under the rug in terms of some of these issues, because if some of these people buy into accepting this, then some of the local crops, I mean, you see it in clothing, you see it in all these various and sundry things to the detriment of the local people who manufacture clothes and food and all these other cultural ways that go by the wayside.
Right. No, I agree in that we need to talk about the things that are real. You know, just to provide some balance to the argument, I don't know if I should just sort of run on like this, Neil, but, you know, there's some equally shameful arguments being put forward on the other side about GMOs. You played that clip from President Bush, where the argument, you know, to use the phrase of our caller here, the argument is being framed as one in which, you know, these genetically engineered crops are going to help starving people in Africa. And that's not why they were developed. They were brought to market because they offered a popular product that farmers would buy, pay more money for, and earn the company's profits. You know, and so to say that the GMOs, these genetically engineered crops, are the key to solving hunger in Africa is really, you know, sort of propaganda. Mm. And if I, you know, just sort of as an example, okay, You know, this initiative to fight African hunger that Bush introduced yesterday is being funded, say, $35 million a year. The U.S. spends roughly 1,000 times that much subsidizing its own farmers. And you say, well, okay, they're American farmers, but that has an impact on African farmers. It subsidizes increased production, drives down the world price of food, and drives African farmers out of business.
Well, Kathleen, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have an email question that comes in from Howard Park, also in Washington. My impression is that genetically modified food has been around for a while. Have there been bad effects?
Bad effects? Well, what kind of bad effects? No, in terms of human health, there is no documented case, no convincing case of any harm to humans from eating genetically engineered crops.
Okay, let's go to Daniel, who joins us from Conway, Arkansas.
Hi. I live in Arkansas, and my family farms rice and soybeans, and that's actually paying for my college education right now. But I go to a liberal arts school, and I took a class last year called Environmental Biology, and we talked a lot about GMOs, and one of the things we studied was the genetic modification of the Roundup Ready soybean. They said on this video we watched that there's actually a gene put into the seed or something like that produces Roundup, which kills weeds and stuff like that. So my question is, should we be worried that we're producing plants that produce poison? Like, I don't mean to sound like generically hippie in that way, but it just seems kind of fundamentally wrong that we're producing plants like that. It seems like that could have long-term, environmentally speaking, disastrous effects.
Yeah, Daniel, you might want to go back and look at your class notes again. Just to briefly summarize what the Roundup Ready crops have in them. There's this gene, it's actually a fascinating story, that they found in the muck of a Roundup factory. you know, because the bacteria living there had to survive in the presence of Roundup. And so it's selected for this particular gene in there. Essentially, that gene, although it was rewritten a bit to make it work in plants, that gene was inserted into the plants, and it produces a slightly different version of a protein in the plant.
Right.
And this slightly different version manages to sort of slip loose from the clutches of the Roundup molecule that comes in and otherwise would kill the plant.
The Roundup molecule would come in when you apply the pesticide in the field.
When you spray the pesticide on the field, normally that Roundup chemical would go in and lock onto this crucial protein within the plant and basically, you know, shut down the plant's ability to feed itself. This slightly differently shaped version of the protein is now in the plant. It carries out the same sort of biological task within the plant, but it's immune to the Roundup. That's what's in the genetically engineered plant.
So there are no plants that come with built-in poisons?
There are plants with there are lots of plants with built-in poisons.
Okay.
But the genetically engineered gene does not produce a poison.
Okay. Daniel, thanks very much for the call, and good luck with your class.
Thank you.
Okay. And before we leave, Dan Charles, you've said that these plants aren't less expensive, that this is what is the advantage? I know one of the company involved, Monsanto, says one of the advantages is you get to use less pesticide.
Well, in reality, you get to use a different pesticide. So the Roundup Ready plants work very nicely with Roundup, which is a cheap pesticide and convenient to apply. So the farmer gets to buy Monsanto's pesticide, which is cheap, and so it's a savings to the farmer.
I see.
That's the main advantage. And in the case of the corn, which is insect protected, in some cases you have to spray less, but most of the time it's kind of an insurance policy. You know, if there's lots of bugs that year, your corn isn't going to get eaten to bits.
So as we often find out, it's a little bit more complicated a story than we thought. Dan Charles, thanks very much for coming in today.
Nice to be here.
Dan Charles is the author of Lords of the Harvest, Biotech and Big Money and the Future of Food. He was here with us in Studio 3A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.